Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast given us guidance that we can know how to do before Thee, that Thou hast not left us alone or left us to the limited understanding we have, but Thou hast revealed Thy will. And we pray Thee, Father, for the grace to understand it and to walk in Thy ways. Add Thy blessing as we study. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen. As we continue our study of the Sermon on the Mount in the book of Matthew, we come now in the 6th chapter to what our Lord Jesus has to say about the practice of praying. He is, in this whole Sermon on the Mount, he is explaining and showing that the kind of conduct, the living that is acceptable to God, is genuine. It's heartfelt. You mean it. And he is showing that anything less than that will not be acceptable to God. All of this is going to enable us to judge ourselves, and as we face the truth of the fact that God looks at the heart, many of us will just cry out, "Woe is me, I am undone." We'll feel our own sinfulness and our own need, because we'll see that nothing else will satisfy God but a heartfelt yieldedness and obedience to Him. And many of us just don't have that kind of record. We sin in the presence of God, and that means that we need His grace and mercy, which will also come to us, but will come only to those who confess their sins and are willing to receive the grace of God that will deliver them from them. Now here, when we're thinking about praying, we turn in chapter 6 to verses 5 to 15, and as we see this well-known discussion of the matter of prayer by the Lord Jesus Christ, we will see that the emphasis again is upon God as over against man. It would appear that so far as our conduct is concerned, we have our choice whether we're going to do things in the sight of men or whether we're going to do things in the sight of God. In other words, we have our choice as to whom we are going to please. Are we going to please men? In which case we may dishonor God. Or are we going to please God? In which case we may displease men. The two will not be alike. But let us see what we have here when we come to chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Here again we see that what really matters and what really qualifies one's conduct is the intention we have. What do we have in mind? When we do something in any direction at all, of any sort whatsoever, why are we doing it? For whom are we doing it? And when we are thinking about doing something that would be good and that would be appreciated, who is the person we're trying to please? That sort of thing. And the Lord Jesus sets out here, if we're trying to please men, we will not be doing the will of God. Now we read on in verse 6, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Here again I feel perfectly free in myself to make some suggestion to you about this. I know what some people take this literally, and they think it means that they're going to go into their own room or into their own bedroom, and they're going to pray there, and they won't pray anywhere else. If it meant that, then there'd never be any such thing as public prayer, because every one of us would go privately, isolated by ourselves, and pray that way. But suppose we have this in mind. The Lord Jesus does use the figure of entering into the closet. But suppose we have this in mind. Thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Be inward about it. Personally turn your heart to God. Nobody else knows but only God how you feel. So you turn your heart over to God, alone, as it were, with God. Enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, Now, I think the matter of shutting the door of the closet most commonly is a matter of shutting out consideration of this world's affairs. For some of us, when we go to pray, we can hardly talk to God in prayer because we're thinking about our business. There's something coming up, and some of us are thinking about our pleasure. Even when we read the Bible, even when we pray, we're thinking about some amusement, some entertainment, some pleasant thing that we had. Now, that's not in secret, you see. That's not being separated unto God. So the Lord Jesus says, put all these other things out. And when you've shut the door, shutting out the door on every other consideration but your relationship to God, pray to thy Father which is in secret. When he says that the Father is in secret, it means, to me, that the relationship with God is internal. Nobody else can see it. No other human being knows. Only the man who has it knows it. So pray to thy Father which is in secret, who is in the inner, private recesses of your heart. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You can have dealings with God in your own heart all by yourself, but God will openly benefit you and bless you in front of everyone. Now we read on to verse 7. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. And here brings out this idea, that in praying we should keep in mind that we are not doing something to force God to do something. It isn't that if we prayed a certain amount, God would bless us, and if we prayed twice as much, he'd bless us twice as much, and then if we prayed five times as much, he would bless us five times as much. That isn't the way it goes. Or that if we say it once, we'll get a certain blessing. If we say it twice, we'll get twice as much. If we say it four times, we'll get four times as much. Say it 10 times, we'll get 10 times as much. That's not the way it will go. And actually, this is put in here because the human nature tends to do that. We just tend to do it. That we think that by repeating and repeating and repeating, that we actually are persuading God, or we're building up, as it were, a sort of a store of requests from God. All of this the Lord Jesus calls vain, meaning empty. It's no use to us. Your Father knoweth what you have need of before you ask him, meaning to say, you don't have to explain it to him, and you don't have to repeat it and say it over and over and over and over and over to him, because he already knows. Then we come in verses 9 to 13 to what we commonly call the Lord's Prayer. And some people have pointed out that it isn't really so much the Lord's Prayer as it's the disciples' prayer. But in any case, it is what we commonly call the Lord's Prayer. And if we look through that, you will see many of the aspects of real praying. For instance, after this manner pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven. Please notice the way he uses the word our, and that suggests united prayer. More than one person. You see, if you're just absolutely alone, you'd say, my. But when you say our, it means that you're joining in with other people. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Notice that which art in heaven tells us something about God, and it's a good thing in praying at the very outset when you think about God to bring to heart and mind something true about him. And then he goes on to say, hallowed be thy name, which is a request grounded in honor and worship of God. And so he guides us that way and tells us to say, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, which is a quick way of saying to the Lord, may thy will be done. Work out thy will. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And that's a request wherein you are actually asking God for everything that pertains to your life in this world. Your food, your shelter, your clothing, everything that pertains to your earthly life is included here. And it just means you recognize these things come from God. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Then he goes on to discuss one of these petitions. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now in this instruction about prayer, You will notice that the prayer itself is relatively short and concise, and it points directly to certain things that you want to keep in mind. This does not mean that you're limited to use only these words. Notice what he says. After this manner, pray ye. Pray in this kind of fashion. And if you make a study of the Lord's Prayer any time, you'll have a good idea of the kind of praying you ought to do. When the first thing you do, you honor God. And then you actually ask for God's will to be done. And then you ask for God to help you in your own personal affairs. You say, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil in our daily life. These things are brought out this way, and they do indicate that those are the things to ask. I can imagine someone would say, well, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you put your trust in him, you don't have to ask for anything. That wouldn't be the way it would look. It would be something like this, that as you live, your heart and mind responsive to God, you will actually want certain things from God, and you'll ask for what you're looking for. The actual request you make is like opening your hand to receive the benefits that God will give you. It is as though the Lord God had offered that he would give you certain food, we will say, and you open your hands to receive it. And those who have clean hands will be all the more rejoicing when they receive these things from God, because God looks on the person who is doing it in this fashion. These are the things that the Lord Jesus would teach with reference to praying. Always remember and notice what he is saying. You could be praying only with your thought upon what people will think. And that in itself is not necessarily bad, but you're to do more than that. You're to do your praying as if you were praying unto God. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us in this and in our understanding. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.